Welcome to Ask and It Is Given. For almost 20 years, Esther and Jerry Hicks have brought forward the evolved consciousness collectively known as Abraham to audiences worldwide. These energies speak through Esther as they answer questions and offer teachings from their non-physical perspective. In the next hour, you'll hear Esther Hicks and Abraham explain many powerful laws of the universe and answer questions from audience members. Today's show is recorded in Monterey, California in 2001.
You are enjoying the evolution of your desire. You've reached a place where even when you know what you want and it has not yet manifested, you are still eager and excited about the potential unfolding. Perfectly content in the absence of it. Hardly even noticing that it hasn't happened. Holding so much knowledge about the inevitable unfolding that the molding process is sustaining you and thrilling you. Yes, yes. Really is what this gathering is about, you know, because you'll never get it done. There will always be something desired that is not yet manifest. And so if you are thrilled at the prospect of what is coming, if you are eagerly anticipating the new unfolding, if you are having fun in the gathering of the data and in the launching of the desire, and then you are taking your satisfaction from now aligning to your desire, then you are a masterful creator, feeling exhilarated about the process, feeling natural in your creative endeavor, feeling just like you feel from non-physical perspective. Sometimes our human friends do a lot of that naturally. In other words, contrast helps them to conclude new desire, and they feel initially the fresh eagerness of that new desire. But then they notice so severely where they stand now in relationship to their desire that they begin sometimes to feel discouragement that what they want has not happened. And we think that the reason that that becomes a sort of normal state of human experience is because not understanding how to get in the receiving mode, not understanding how to align vibrationally with the vibration of your desire, sometimes a lot of time passes between the clearly, consciously understanding that you want something and the receiving of it. And we don't blame you for becoming impatient, because you're not supposed to have to wait a long time for things you want, because the universal forces are answering instantly. It should be a very short time between your conscious awareness that you want something and the receiving of it. And so this workshop is not about teaching you patience, because patience is only something that you need to learn when you don't know how to get in the receiving mode. But when you understand how to get in the receiving mode, then you don't need patience, because almost as quickly as you identify you want something, you allow it into your experience. There are three steps in the creative process. They are very simple steps. But it is important to understand the distinction between the three steps and who does what in this process. The first step is ask, the second step is answer, and the third step is let the answer in. You are responsible for the first and third steps only. The universe, God force, whatever you want to call universal energy forces, are responsible and very capable and willing and always answering step number two. So you ask, universal forces answer, but the most important thing that you must do, that many of you are not doing, that is the reason that most of you are now needing patience, is you must learn to let it in. And the way you let it in is by becoming a vibrational match to what you're asking for. So when a desire is born within you and you are thrilled at the prospect of it, in that thrilling, you are letting it in. In a feeling of eager anticipation, you're letting it in. In a feeling of, I love my life as it is and I'm happily anticipating the evolution of it, you're letting it in. In the, oh look, my neighbor has already achieved that which I'm wanting to achieve, I'm thrilled at his success, you're letting it in. But in the, oh look, my neighbor has achieved what I want and I don't like that, I feel guilty that I am not as efficient, or I feel angry that he has breaks that I do not seem to have, or I do not like that he has inherited his fortune, or I do not like that he has achieved it in some way that I do not approve of, or I simply don't like that he has it and I don't, you're not letting it in. In other words, when you feel positive emotion, whether it is about the subject of your desire or not, you are in the receiving mode. But when you feel negative emotion, whether it is about the subject of your desire or not, you are not letting it in. So, the art of receiving, or the art of allowing, is about aligning with my desire. It is about aligning with source energy itself. And you are born with this magnificent emotional guidance system because your emotions tell you your vibrational content. Many people do not understand the purpose or the power or importance of their emotions. And so they do not seek to do anything about the way they feel. They have come to accept in many cases, in fact, we would say in most cases, that the way I feel in my human body is a byproduct of the conditions that surround me. So good conditions make me feel good, but not good conditions make me feel bad. And so then most humans set out in an erroneous, ineffective, inefficient, impossible endeavor to control conditions. It's hopeless. First of all, the majority of conditions that exist are not even any of your business. You have no creative power within them. And second, even if they were your business, you can't control them. It is a futile endeavor. Your work is about controlling the way you feel, which means you are controlling the way you vibrate. And when you control the way you vibrate, you are controlling your vibrational output. And when you are controlling your vibrational output, then you can control your matching up with your own desire. But until then, you truly are powerless, and we can understand why there is frustration in that experience. But of course, when you come to understand that you can control your mood, you can control your attitude, you can control the way you feel, because you can control that which you give your attention to, you can control your focus. When you discover that you can control your focus, then you discover that you are the creative molder or honer of energy. You said, I will go forth into this magnificent sea of contrast. You might even call it a sea of chaos, because when you try to consider all things at once, it certainly is a chaotic experience for you. But you said, I am not a holder of the chaos. I am a sifter and a sorter of the energy. I am a focuser of the energy. I can choose that which I give my attention to. And because you can choose that which you give your attention to, you can choose your vibrational output. And because you can choose your vibrational output, you can vibrationally match to your own desire. And because you can match to your own desire, now you can let your own desire in. If you are not able to match your desire, you will not be able to let it in. And you are the only one that holds those keys. Only you can hold in or hold out. Only you can align to or misalign from. Only you can let in or keep out. Only you can allow or resist your own desire. Oh, there is such freedom in understanding that. In fact, we would say to you that that must be the only definition of what true freedom is. When you discover that you can feel deliberately, then you discover that you are free to allow. And that's really what this gathering is about. In fact, so much so that we are calling it the art of allowing, or the understanding of receiving, or the art of letting it in. Certainly, the science of deliberate creation is what this is all about. But your work within this science is about letting in what you have sometimes even unconsciously defined as your preference. You are a multifaceted being who has consciousness on many levels. Even cellularly, you are exuding preferences which universal forces are answering. So even a baby who has not yet learned to offer words, to articulate thought, is thinking, is offering vibration, does have full cognitive reasoning powers. Even your beasts are offering thought. They are vibrationally exuding. They are preferring. They are therefore asking. And universal forces are always answering. Whether it is your dog, whether it is your cell, whether it is your full conscious state. any consciousness at any level is always asking. And all consciousness at all level is being answered, no exception. The big question is this consciousness letting it in? And so that's why we're here to visit with you, to assist you, if it is your wanting, to get into closer awareness so that you can deliberately allow the things that you have already said that you want into your experience. Here is something that we've noticed that seems to be a big tripping point for many of you. Step one is ask. Step two is not your work, it is answer. Step three is your work, it is receive. But we want you to be aware that step one and step three are separate steps. In other words, very often when you are in the place of asking, the very nature of the asking process is not allowing. The very turmoil that you are living that is causing you to ask is the very turmoil that is keeping you from receiving. And we want you to relax and understand that that is natural. When you're asking a question, you are often not in the place of receiving the answer. For that reason, we enjoy very much watching the unfolding of these gatherings, because sometimes, even when you are the one sitting in the chair, asking with great fervor your all-important question, you're the last one in the room to hear the answer. Because you are so involved in the question that vibrationally you cannot hear it. It is the reason that Jerry and Esther make the recordings available. It is the reason that we often choose someone else to ask your question. Sometimes at the end of a gathering, it happened last weekend, someone will leave a note on the table, very disturbed, angry at Esther because she has not chosen them. And Esther always says, in defense, I don't get to choose. Abraham is the chooser. But we say, we are always aware of everything that you are wanting, and we are always answering everything that you are wanting to know in multiple times during a gathering like this. So it is not possible for you to be here and not receive the answer from us, but it is possible that you may not be letting it in. What we're wanting to soothe here a little bit is we want to say to you, don't try so hard to get right now everything that you want. Instead, trust that everything that you want is coming, and let your work be to chill out and let it in. As physical humans, you work far too hard for your success, partly because you think that you have to prove your worthiness, and partly because you've been trained to believe that struggle is part of the process of receiving. But we're here to tell you, there is no place for struggle in receiving. It is opposite vibration. So in your basking, you're letting it in. In your appreciation, you're letting it in. So if you go to the beach and you have a lovely afternoon, you might be achieving more than if you were hard at work, diligently working on your computer or your project. But if you go to the beach and you feel guilty about being at the beach, you're not letting it in anyway. If you go to the beach and you bask, then that is productive time. If you go to the beach and you fret, not productive time. If you work at your computer and you are thrilled, productive time. But if you work at your computer and you are frustrated and overwhelmed, not productive time. Productive by what standard? Productive by the standard of you letting in what you said you want. No other standard of productivity applies as far as we are concerned. Because there is nothing that you should do, there is nothing that you must do, there is only that that you want to do. Someone said to us the other day, in fact it comes up from time to time, Abraham, I have a problem with your word want. Wanting implies something undone. Shouldn't I talk about it as if it is already done? And we say, yes, if it pleases you. But if you say, I have it, and you don't believe you have it, And it makes you feel guilty because you know you're lying. Now you're not letting it in. So each of you have to choose the words that feel best to you. A very dear man recently said, rather than say, I want something, would it not be more effective if I say, I choose something? Very good word. I choose this. I choose this. And that's what we're wanting you to do. We're wanting you to choose thoughts that feel good. We're wanting you to choose memories that feel good. We're wanting you to choose to feel good. We are eager to talk with you about anything that is important to you. Everything is appropriate. We are anticipating a wonderful unfolding here. It is really co-creating at its best. You're ready to begin?
Thank you. I've been listening to Abraham tapes for quite a long time. And when I'm working in my business and things aren't going quite as well, I think maybe the universe has something else for me to do. Is that the way the universe speaks to you as far as...
You mean the universe has a better plan for you,
yeah.
And so it is sort of thwarting one door?
Yeah.
Never.
Aha, good. I needed that question answered.
Never.
It makes much more sense.
Remember, you are the only one who can thwart or allow.
Okay.
In fact, the opposite of your first implication is really afoot, because the universe is looking for endless avenues through which to satisfy the desire that you hold. Sometimes people will say, well, I missed my window of opportunity. And we say, that's not possible because there are endless windows that will open. And so if something is not going well, it is because in the time that has been preceding it, you've been focused upon it not going well.
Right. Or wanting other things.
Or actually wanting something
yeah.
different. Sometimes it can be a contradiction in desires.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is a contradiction between desire and belief. But it is always contradiction in energy.
Yeah.
When there is alignment in energy, which either means don't think about the part that contradicts, mm-hmm. or think about the part that contradicts until it doesn't contradict. Yes. Want to talk about it?
Yes, I have a family, and as I'm drawn to family occasions and wanting to mix and play and enjoy my family, I also am drawn away from my business. And as that is happening, then the business goes down a little bit. Basically, it should, because the attention isn't there.
There's your flawed reasoning. Because what you're doing, and almost everybody does it, but your assumption is that you have to keep steady action applied in order for the universe to keep yielding. And you don't. The universe is yielding in response to your desire. There's a key thing here. You believe that your action is what makes it happen. So when you stop your action, it stops happening. But it's only because you believe that the action is necessary. It isn't because the action is necessary. That's what we meant earlier when we were talking about if you go to the beach and you feel guilty about not being at work, you're not letting it in. But if you go to the beach and you're having a joyful time at the beach, you're still letting it in. Where most people think that they have to be applying the specific action of the business. In other words, if I'm a salesperson and I don't get out there and sell something, if I don't offer the action, then it cannot happen. And we say the universe will deliver to you in endless ways, but you've got to be in the place of letting it in, you say. Haven't you known people who seem to just let things happen? And it's annoying because you'd like them to suffer as much as you're suffering.
Yes, I taught a young girl to allow. And in teaching this beautiful child how to allow, she created the house in Carmel Valley. She created a car for herself. She created this beautiful wedding that she didn't have to plan much of because people came and did it for her. It was just so beautiful to see something fulfilled that I had a part in.
So how would you describe her personality? Uptight?
No, she's very bubbly and goes to the thought that feels better and calls me every now and then, says, I'm stuck. And I go, go to the thought that feels better and we play with it. And
so
it's
would you
fun
say she struggles her way to her success?
No.
Or she just sort of easily plays her way to her success?
She gets on and off like all of us, but she plays at it. And she's a childlike with a childlike giggle. It's lovely to see.
It's easier. The earlier you begin applying deliberate creation, the earlier you acknowledge your natural state of being. In other words, you began with us here today saying, I know this. And as I hear you say it, I know that I know it. But I have not been practicing it all of the time that I've known it. I've developed some habits that have kept me apart from it. And so as you meet these fresh young ones, they're like you. They know it too, and they haven't practiced the art of resistance quite as long as some of you. And so, as you say, she slips in and out of it. But what we were wanting you to do is notice the correlation between what she is manifesting and what her general mood or attitude is. And it's easy to feel the lightness and ease in the way she approaches life as compared to the struggle and serious nature. That's why kids often are saying to their parents, lighten up. In other words, they can just feel that parents take everything so seriously.
They do.
So, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Indeed. We'll come back to you. Back row on the other aisle. Then second row from the back here. Yes.
You really helped me get over fear I had around wanting a mate to come into my life, a partner, someone to have fun with. And you said, why not choose, you know, six people to come? So I decided to ask the universe to send six men to surprise and delight me. And they all showed up within 2 months. It was fun. And it really opened things up and just took all the stress off my shoulders. And I just loved being adored. There were like four or five old boyfriends that called from long distances. I had invitations for dinner, lunch, theater, the whole shebang. And I had a wonderful trip for 5 days with an old friend of mine to Palm Springs. So it was real, real fun, and out of that came a wonderful relationship, and lasted for about 6 months, and we both realized that we weren't a match, but it didn't matter. It was just such a beautiful, beautiful experience, and we connected on such a wonderful level as friends.
Why do you think it doesn't matter?
It didn't matter because I realized that there was someone else out there for me. There was no shortage. Yes, all of a sudden I was seeing that men would adore me everywhere I went. I allowed myself to be adored, even by a door being opened, a smile, just a friendly interaction. It was wonderful. It just opened up my whole world to the kindness and sweetness of men. So then I decided, okay, I'm going to just define this a little bit better. So universe sent me two men who are interested in having maybe a little bit more of a committed relationship. Let's see who shows up this time. And I've had a wonderful relationship over the past year and a half with a great guy, and he surprises and delights me on a regular basis. And I'm so surprised how the universe could send me somebody who is compatible on so many different levels. When I thought that I, at one point in my life, that I would never find somebody that I could relate to who was of the opposite sex. And so I want to thank you for that. I think just taking my fingers off the abrasion, or, I don't know, it was just getting lighter and funner, and it's just getting better and better and better all the time.
Well, we think that you took the step in believing that the universe was answering, and you were close enough to recognizing how well so many things were going for you that you decided to just ask and watch for evidence that the universe could answer you. And in those steps, you showed yourself that you ask and it is given. And so now you're at that place, and then you crossed the big hurdle of all hurdles, where you came to understand that there is no shortage. And that was the true freeing moment for you, when you realized that this universe is abundant with all things that you want. It's just a matter of you playfully relaxing and allowing them in. And it's true of everything.
Stay with us for more of Ask and It Is Given, a live lecture brought through Esther Hicks from the evolved consciousness collectively known as Abraham. To learn more about Esther Hicks and Abraham, visit hayhouse.com.
I'm Summer McStravick, and maybe you've heard my show, Flow Dreaming. I teach you about a powerful method for manifesting, and if you want to continue your learning, please visit flowdreaming.com. There you'll find articles, my book, and many guided Flow Dreaming CDs. And if you sign up for my newsletter, you'll get a free MP3 download. So continue your search for truth at flowdreaming.com.
Banish anxiety, distress, and depression to make 2007 your best year yet. Join Dr. Eve Wood, psychiatrist and best-selling author, for a life-changing weekend workshop based on her new book, 10 Steps to Take Charge of Your Emotional Life, at The Crossings in Austin, Texas, February 9th through 11th. Discover how to harness your inner healer and transform your life. For information, visit www.thecrossingsaustin.com. Would you like to make a living by making a difference? Join success coach and author Michael Neal in New York City on the 20th and 21st of January for Coaching Mastery, a two-day intensive workshop to take your coaching, your practice, and your life to the next level. To learn more, visit us online at www.geniuscatalyst.com. That's geniuscatalyst.com.
See Bishop Jordan live in a city near you in his new The Laws of Thinking 2007 book tour. This transformational lecture will show you how your thoughts have the power to shape your life. Nothing happens without thought. Bishop Jordan will help you think, understand, and organize your thoughts into a system that will ensure abundance in your life. Why settle when you can have all you desire? Plus, Bishop Jordan will be answering questions and signing books after every lecture. Call now, 800-654-5126, or visit www.hayhouse.com.
Take a vacation to the Mediterranean with Sylvia Brown and find the answers you've been searching for. Join Sylvia and spiritual intuitive Colette Baron-Reed for the all-new 2007 Spiritual Connections Cruise to the Mediterranean, departing from Rome on September 25th. During this 10-night cruise, you'll meet Sylvia in person, enjoy hours of exciting workshops, and you can even ask Sylvia a question. Tickets will sell out, so call now, 888-259-9191, extension 1213, or visit www.sylvia.org.
Find spirituality in all of your relationships with world-famous psychic Sylvia Brown in her new 2007 Spiritual Connections Multi-City Tour. Let Sylvia guide you to more fulfilling relationships and help you attract more positive people in your life. Special bonus, intuitive Colette Baron-Reed is co-hosting this lecture with Sylvia and will provide live readings to select audience members. Tickets are selling fast, so call now, 800-654-5126, or visit sylvia.org.
Hello, I'm Louise Hay. Congratulations, you found us. Welcome to HayHouseRadio.com, radio for your soul.
We now return to Ask and It Is Given, a live lecture from Esther Hicks as she brings through the vibration of Abraham.
Well, several years ago, I resigned as manager of the universe, and
big relief. Wasn't it a big relief?
Oh, God, it was great, yeah.
And have you noticed that management has still continued?
Yeah.
The place didn't fall apart?
No, as a matter of fact, it's a much more beautiful world. I don't know. My managing wasn't that great.
Well, you were attempting the impossible.
I was. And after resigning as manager of the universe, I also let go of a lot of resentment I had towards men and things in my life. And I think that really opened up the doors to me, you know, falling in love with men again. And I was at a workshop where I was looking at finding my true life purpose. And what it came down to was to honor the excellence in myself and others. Does that sound accurate?
It does, because in doing that, you are in alignment with who you really are. And when you are in alignment with who you really are, you are in alignment with joy. Mm. And joy is your true purpose. In other words, when you realize that nothing is more important than... Nothing is more... No, nothing. Nothing nothing is more important than that you feel good.
Yeah.
Then you realize why. Because in feeling good, you're in alignment with Source. When you are in alignment with Source, you are fulfilling all reason for being. Yes.
And there's so much less guilt. There's so much less guilt in my life. So much less worry that I'm not doing things right and that I have to work really hard.
Guilt gets you nowhere. Guilt is opposite of Source. Guilt is opposite of who you are. Guilt is lack-filled. You cannot be a match to who you are and in a vibration of guilt at the same time. They are opposite vibrations.
That's right. So the only other
guilt
thing...
Guilt is self-deprecation when who you are is self-love. Who you are is love of self, love of all. You are love. And so you cannot be love and guilt at the same time. This is a fast way to get rid of it. And you've heard it, but not in relationship to guilt. So you say, I've decided to be very tidy. I'm going to make my bed every day. And then you think of all those beds you didn't make. And you say, I guess I have to go back and make all those unmade beds. And we say, good luck with that one. In other words, you can't even find them all.
Mm.
You can't even remember them all. You could not possibly do anything about them. Just make your bed today. And so that's the best story we have about guilt. Just reach for a better feeling now and never mind anything that has been, because you can't do anything about it anyway and you don't need to. You stand right here, right now, as this pure, powerful, blessed, beloved, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-deserving being. And anything that has happened before has nothing to do with that.
My passion is coming to me. My next 50 years on the planet is unfolding as it should in front of me, and I'm waiting with eager anticipation. Thank you.
We will romp with you.
Yay.
Joyous.
I lost both of my parents within a year of each other recently, and
are they lost?
Physically, yes.
Feels that way?
Yes, it does, especially with my mother. But I don't feel badly about it. They both had good lives. They've been married for 62 years, and they had lived for each other, very much so. And they'd both been ill on and off, and my dad came to me first and asked and said to me, I've had enough. I don't want to do this anymore. Will you help me? And with my Abraham knowing, I said yes. I didn't have a problem with that because I didn't fear death anyway. And within 3 weeks, he died because he intended it that way. And I didn't have a problem with that because he was very clear. And one of my questions is, what happens to the inner being energy at the actual moment of physical death? Because I experienced it twice, very close to each other with two people that I cared a great deal about, and it was very different for each one. With my dad, when he stopped breathing very quietly, and the energy in the room became huge. It was like this big thing that was there in the room at the end of his bed. And I thought, oh, well, that's the way that it's going to be. And, oh, it felt like his physical family dropped by to pick him up. His non-physical family, I should say. And that seemed like the right thing. And I was okay with that. And then within 2 months of my dad dying, my mother couldn't figure out how to stay anymore. It was like once my dad's vibration was gone, she couldn't figure out which way was up. And even though all the kids were left, she kept saying, what do I do now? And within 2 months, she'd had two strokes. And I had to place her in a nursing home because she couldn't be cared for at home. And we went along like that for a while. And she wasn't ready to go. She was afraid to go. So I couldn't have the talks with her like I had with my dad, which made it so much easier. And she was struggling for every breath at the end. And the people, the nurses told me that this is how it has to be, that she's going, it's going to be very bad, and all of this horrible stuff. And I stood in the hallway, and I knew somehow or other a voice said to me, this is not how it has to be. And I walked past four nurses, and I walked up to my mother's bed, and I held her hand, and I talked to her for about 10 minutes about the fact that it was time for her to go, that she was going to be free. All of the things that we have heard here and that I have inside of me, that I know, that her family was waiting for her, that it was going to be wonderful, that she was just merely going to leave this old physical shell behind. And she hadn't had her eyes open for at least a couple of days. And she was rasping and doing all of these horrible things that I won't go into. But as I talked to her, she relaxed. And her breathing became slower and slower. And just before she stopped breathing, she opened her eyes and she looked at me. And the force of energy that came out of her came into me. It felt like it went into me or through me or something, and literally rocked me back on my heels, where I was kind of stunned. And when I looked back, she had passed. And I'm wondering, how is it so totally different, the feeling of the energy passing from that person, and what actually does happen?
The most important thing to focus upon in an understanding of all of this is that the process of reemerging back into non-physical, or that which you call physical death, the creating of it, the deliberate creation of it, or the creating of it by default, is not different than any other topic. The more alignment of energies there are, the better it feels, the easier it is. And so, in the case of your father, who had consciously made the decision to do it and who had, for the most part, come into alignment with the idea of it, it would be a different experience than someone who is in the moment. There's a big difference, and you help us speak it in the clearest way we've ever had opportunity, that there's a big difference between being physically focused and choosing to turn attention to non-physical, and being physically focused and no longer wanting to turn attention toward physical. In other words, we talk about this all day, every day in these gatherings, about the difference between saying yes to something wanted rather than no to something not wanted. And that was the primary difference that you felt there. It's sort of the optimum opportunity to experience it, because you're talking about returning to the source energy itself, but that's what it was about. And there was more resistance within you in experiencing the withdrawal of your father than of your mother also. And so even your relationship to the energy would be a different experience, you see. Makes sense to you?
Yes, it does. When the energy leaves the body, what exactly happens at that moment? Because there is this thing that happens. And I never thought I would be able to experience it, but I was able to experience it twice.
Well, what you experienced was the seeing of energy passing through a vessel, and then the seeing of the energy no longer passing through a vessel. Anyone who experiences someone making their transition, you are a witness to energy flowing through that focus, and then energy withdrawing from that focus. It's a little bit like, here we all are in this room, and we've opened a vortex together, and there's a tremendous amount of energy that is flowing here, so much so that people who have a party in this room later tonight would benefit from the energy that is flowing here. But those of you who are leaving the room, as you take your consciousness and focus it elsewhere, while this was a good experience, it is now not the focal point of your life experience. You're more interested in what's happening in your vehicle or in the restaurant where you're having dinner or in the conversation where you will be focused. And so what we're really talking about is just a focusing of consciousness. That's what you call physical life is. And the withdrawal of the consciousness is what you call physical death. The thing that we are always wanting to point you toward, and we can feel that you know this on many levels, is that the consciousness that is your mother or that is your father still remains as focalized consciousness. It is just not focused into this time-space reality and into that physical vessel in the way that you once knew that it was. And so you have to establish a new relationship, you see.
The other thing that I saw with both of them was that once the energy, as I perceived the energy, to have left them, they neither one looked like the people that I knew.
Well, that is because you don't know them for their physical countenance as much as you know them for their vibrational countenance. And when that focus is no longer there, even though they have similarities, in other words, the corpse has the look, so to speak, that's not the part of them that you knew.
Right. Okay. That was all I wanted to ask.
Good enough.
Thank you very much.
We think you know more than we gave you. Words don't teach nearly as well as the experience, do they?
Well, that's true.
Yes. Back row. We'll come back to you. This way.
Hello, Abraham. I feel alive. Only because my heart is beating and I have this energy here. I should feel alive for more than those reasons. But anyways.
Well, you do. You just can't focus on them all at once.
Right.
Yes.
I'm sitting here seeking a bit or maybe a lot of affirmation and some inspiration. I see in my mind the art of creating and creation. Inside, and next to that, I see the being from which all things that are created come, the source. Now, I'm asking you to speak about the process of becoming more aware, opening up, becoming and being the source, this being.
Well, the easiest way we know, there are many different ways to approach it. First, certainly recognizing that it exists and that you want it is primary. Recognizing that the way you feel is your indicator about your connection to it is the most significant tool. So when you realize that your emotions are the key to your awareness of this connection, then you realize that strong emotion means strong summoning of it. If it feels good, there's strong allowing of it. If it feels bad, there's strong disallowing of it. But that the way you feel is your indicator of how much of that connection you're asking for in this moment and how much of that connection you're allowing in this moment. You began here, just as you sat down, by saying, I feel so alive because my heart is beating and the energy is flowing. Almost, I'm nervous and aware of this moment. And we say, what you're really feeling is the strong power of focused energy. In other words, that's what that buzz is about. It's your feeling of desire was sufficient that you are selected among this magnificent group of creators. And then as you're selected, then the ideas about what you're wanting to talk about begin to focus in a stronger and stronger way. So the vortex opened very powerfully. And the uneasiness that you feel slightly is that you're not quite up to speed with the energy that you've summoned. In other words, this is quite a vortex of energy that you've amassed here and that we are encouraging together. It's like a big tornado sort of thing. And your physical body is not quite up to speed with that. And that is the area of concentration, to bring myself up to speed with my own desires. And your emotions let you know everything about that. And so what you're asking for is, how can I, in this focused body, utilize the fullness of all I am? We can feel you knowing. You said it in words and we feel it in your vibration. You know that you're an extension of source energy. We would even go so far as to say you know that you are physical embodiment of source energy. And we can feel also that you know that sometimes you're allowing that to a greater degree than others, and that the heart of your question is, how can I be there always? How can I be there more? And we say, be there more by just insisting that you feel good. When you said, I feel alive, that is that feeling. It is that expansive feeling of eagerness. That is the strongest indicator that you're there. So boredom doesn't mean it. Because boredom is lack of focus and lack of summoning. Frustration means part of it, because it means strong summoning and not letting it in. Ecstasy and that feeling of, oh, I love my life, that feeling of eagerness, that's right on it, you see. Now, could you be in that feeling of eagerness all of the time? No, but you could vacillate from contentment to eagerness. In other words, as you begin to move through your days and you hear the words coming out of you in expression of the way you feel, that say things like, oh, I feel so lucky, or isn't this a wonderful thing, or look at that extraordinary sunset, or isn't this a lovely flower, or wasn't that a sweet thing, or did you see the wonderful expression on that person's face, or oh, do I feel appreciation for this one who is helping me, or... As you vacillate between appreciation and ecstasy and yahooing and savoring and basking, in other words, that's just the nature of one who is connected to source energy. There's a lot of confusion about this subject, because there are those who would say you must be in a contemplative state to be in the state of source energy, or you have to be in a prayerful state, or you have to be in a not wanting state, or you have to be in a non-materialistic state. And we say, you have to be in a connected state, and it always feels good, and we don't care what you call it. It doesn't matter if you call the good feeling love, or if you call the good feeling passion, or if you call the good feeling extraordinary interest in a subject, or if you call it ecstasy in the middle of sensual pleasure. In other words, it does not matter. It's all source energy, and it always feels good.
I'm complete. Thank you.
Here, then here. Yes.
I think a year ago, a little bit longer, I came to a session and said that I wanted to practice medicine in a different way, and I was sort of searching in that, and we dialogued about that a bit, and I just wanted to report that I am now practicing what I call joy medicine, and it's sort of a new term. I tried to search it on the internet and nothing came up.
Sort of incongruous words.
Yeah, doesn't exist. So I called this friend of mine and I said, you know, I think I'd like to try to reserve this website called joymedicine.com. So he did his thing. Sure, I'll reserve it. He called me back and he said, it's already taken. Somebody in Korea owns that website. And I was thinking, oh, that's great. This is, you know, somebody else is thinking of this same thing, but even in a different language, somewhere on the other side of the earth. And so I was really excited about that. And so I just sort of wanted to report that, you know, that's what I'm doing now. And joy medicine is, you know, I look at it at three things. First, it's my joy. I'm having fun. Second, joy is a prescription. And joy is the medicine. too. So
the only medicine we've ever known.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, there's many people that have talked about that here already, and so I just, but the question that I have is that I've noticed that through my training and school from kindergarten on up is that, you know, we talk about the five senses, and there's, you know, the touch and smell and taste and all those things, and even the sixth sense, you know, there are other senses. And my question has to do with, you know, I think I've noticed that there are a lot more senses that we have, and you've talked about the solar plexus and reading vibration, and but I've noticed that you know, it's like we have the ability to sense things like heat. I can hold my hand up to the sun and I can feel the heat from that, but you know, I could actually hold my hand up to a person or to their chest, and I can feel a more intense heat from their heart than I can from holding it to the sun. So I start thinking there are a lot more sensors I think we have that we don't even know about, maybe hundreds.
Well, we would say that what you're getting at is there is vibration all over the place and different combinations of it, which translates into all kinds of experience, and that on many levels of your being, you are sensitive to these vibrations. And that what you see with eyes is a translation of vibration and feel with your fingertips, but that you have an infinite range of sensitivity. Last night in the restaurant, the young man who waited on Jerry and Esther, when he put the check down, Esther said, "Thank you, Josh." And then she realized he had never told her his name. But when she looked on the bill, it was written there, Joshua. And it surprised her because she realized that on some level she vibed that out. But how do you describe that? And we say you are translators of vibration and you're communicating vibrationally. And it is not possible to quantify the numbers of ways that you are understanding all of that. It's wonderful to be aware of it.
Yeah. So I guess the what I'm wanting is to open up more of that, and you know, more of those sensors, and allowing.
You will not necessarily expand your visual or expand your ability to feel,
right.
But the true expansion and what we believe the next century of your time-space reality will come to understand more clear is the emotional translators. As you focus upon emotion, we think that's where your translation of energy will go. In other words, you talked about solar plexus, and we think it is that sensitivity that will take you anywhere you want to go, to any depths of understanding.
Okay, thank you.
To learn more about Abraham, visit HayHouse.com to find the books, The Law of Attraction, and Ask and It Is Given by Jerry and Esther Hicks. You may also visit their website at Abraham-Hicks.com. Join us again next time for another hour of Ask and It Is Given.